Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
You know, still improved, just a power outage. It was the electrical storm.
Let's assume no calls in the first segment, and we'll try to fix it during the commercial break.
Okay,
and see what
that's
goes
fine.
On there. Yeah, we'll do it. Instead of subjecting people to us trying to see if the phone line works during an actual call in the air. So we'll do the first segment without it and see what happens. And
I tell you, well, the thing is, we're not going to try to bring one on the air. So if somebody happens to call in, then just good luck. But we're not going to attempt to take any calls here early on as we're underway here on the Tuesday. One note, Andy Burcham, usually with us on Tuesdays, he said he is in meetings all day today. So we won't have the voice of the Auburn Tigers on with us. So, we will let you know as we move on if we're able to get Jake Crane of Crane & Company on in hour number two. But, we're underway here on this Tuesday edition of The Drive. Bill and Dan, and we're here in the studio with Drew at the controls. And we will we'll delve into whatever. There's the field is now
set.
I
thought you had an idea in mind when you said we'll delve into.
Different things. There's not a ton going on. There's more baseball news really than there is anything else. We've got the super regionals are set. 5 SEC teams are in super regionals. The story we were talking about yesterday has gone ahead with more information on the lifetime suspension for a part-time player or someone who had not really made his mark. But quite a few minor leaguers also have been affected in the investigation. Apparently Major League Baseball has been investigating quite a bit on gambling. And I was actually a little surprised, Dan, when I saw that multiple minor leaguers suspended for just 1 year, even though they did bet. They bet on baseball. They bet on their teams.
Yeah, I think it's because Tucapita was on the major league roster at the time. He was betting on a team that he was actually on, which mm-hmm. I guess is the cardinal sin in that situation, where that'll get you a lifetime ban. You'll be betting on even if you're on the injury list, even on the injured list. To bet on a game where you seemingly have the inside information of being in the clubhouse, you know, whether you bet on your team to win or lose, you know, that's beside the point. Yeah, Marcano's banned for life from Major League Baseball. Still, you know, we'll presumably have the opportunity to pursue, if he avoids criminal charges for this, he will have the opportunity to pursue professional baseball elsewhere. But yeah, Major League Baseball banning him for life, the first player banned for life for Major League Baseball for gambling reasons since Pete Rose.
Right.
So, significant development there. Nothing really. I mean, I was talking with Ferguson last night recording a podcast. Like, there's not. We talked about this a little bit with Brian yesterday. There's nothing urgent in the Auburn sports.
Sports.
Still no softball coach. Right. Do you suspect? We haven't talked about the softball coaching
well,
search
did,
very
did
much.
Well, did see that the Oklahoma State. I saw the report that the Oklahoma State coach acknowledged having been contacted by Auburn, but is staying at Oklahoma State.
It's going to be, and the longer we go with the portal open in college softball, right, Bill? I mean, because that's a window that opened, I think the day after the tournament bracket was revealed, or a week later. I forget how they do it in softball, that's going to be just a really, it's such a loaded league, and you're starting near the bottom because of the circumstance. I mean, because of the circumstances you're going to inherit because of the players moving on and the fact that Auburn has gone this long without a coach and what that could do for recruiting. I just think it's going to be a really it's going to be a difficult draw for whoever ends up taking that job. You know, they hopefully Auburn is patient with them and lets them
with the next coach.
With the next softball coach.
And you know what? I mean, right now, the only thing that Auburn can do is, I would guess, someone from representing Auburn softball is having to try to be contacting players and saying we're working on it. Don't make a decision hastily or something like that. But that's tough, very tough situation as you're trying to improve the talent on your roster and retain players and then try to upgrade the talent on the roster when you don't have anyone that when none of these players know who their coach is going to be, what the style is going to be. They really don't know anything. I mean, it's a very, very difficult situation.
And when you have a coaching vacancy while the portal is open,
yeah, that is,
every day matters, right? Mm-hmm. Every hour that you're going without a coach is significant. So I would think Auburn maybe they've got their sights set on somebody who is still playing, or maybe they are going to plan B after the Oklahoma State thing. I have no insight into who's actually going to get this job, but it seems like it's going to be it needs to be soon, right? Would you agree with that? I mean,
the sooner the better. I mean, I know it's a very, very difficult situation too, because you don't want to make a hasty hire that would not be, you know, good in the long run. But then when you're looking at talking about the long run, you need something to be building on.
Yeah, and more in college athletics, when you talk about the long run, we're talking about next season, right? Like that's the long run, Bill. There's no 2 or 3 year plan. I mean, it'd be great if Auburn hired somebody. You know, I had somebody ask me about Butch earlier today. Not that he's in any jeopardy of not coaching the team next season, but in the case of Butch, I mean, he seems like an example of somebody who was excellent at things that feel like they've been de-emphasized by modern recruiting rules, right? Like the ability to develop a guy, right, and you know, take him from a freshman who's not ready for prime time to a sophomore or junior who can effectively get outs. And it feels like now more than ever, you know, if freshmen who aren't ready for prime time aren't getting signed by, I mean, I know Auburn's signing freshmen, but that's a development, feels like it's being it's not as important as being able to sign, even if it's guys who are 3-4 years into their college careers, you know, being able to identify guys who can help you right now. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not like the transfer portal and NIL just came in this year.
That's true.
I mean, and Auburn was, you know, Auburn's been in Super Regionals and the College World Series since NIL and the transfer portal came in. So, I mean, this was a bad year, a very disappointing year for Auburn baseball. And these days, I mean, regardless of if it's because NIL, transfer portal, injuries, bad luck, whatever, you just can't afford to be putting subpar seasons together back to back. I mean, so, I mean, it's tough on anyone. Butch is a very, very well-respected, highly thought-of coach there's no way that his job is in jeopardy now, but go out and don't win a third of your conference games for a couple of years in a row, and everybody's seat's going to be warmer.
I think everybody used to rely more on developing freshmen than they do now, too.
Maybe in every sport.
Exactly. Maybe it's just that Butch has been around longer than some of the other coaches in the SEC. And so you say, if that, but you say, like, okay, well, he developed, his specialty was developing young guys, you know, and now in an era where the SEC is about, you know, who can sign Paul Skeens and who can identify, right, who can go get the best possible, who can hit the portal the hardest after every season. You know, maybe that's not I wonder.
Part of it's not Butch. Part of it is the pocket that he has to deal with. I mean, the resources that you have allocated to baseball.
I still wonder if he, you know, when we talk about, oh, you got to go get two, you know, you got to go get two proven, you know, weekend starters and stuff like that. It's like, boy, that's hitting the portal harder than he's used to hitting it.
Oh, it is.
Or probably than he wants to, right? Because as a guy who likes to develop.
Yeah, but I mean, I think when you have a situation, I think Auburn went after a couple of guys that were very prominent in the Southeastern Conference this past year. They just they didn't have the whatever to get them. I think Jason will tell you that a little more tomorrow. He could probably give you some names.
Bruce liked to develop point guards. That didn't stop him from going and getting J.P. Pegues too.
No, like plans. But Bruce's philosophy has been, for the most part, to get mid-majors guys. You know, not the five-star transfer portal guys. The ability to spot players who are moving up and are able to fit into the system and really blend, fit in, I think has been a huge bit of Bruce's success.
Is that a tougher thing to do when you're recruiting baseball pitchers?
Everybody wants Paul Skeens.
Everyone's system is get outs.
Yes.
And everybody's like, oh, right. Well, that pitcher fits my system because he gets guys out.
Yeah.
And you know, that pitcher over there who doesn't get guys out, he doesn't really fit.
No, really, that's right. My system. Yeah. So it is different. I mean, it's different because you can play different styles. Like we were talking about with softball, you play different styles, but pitching is something that you've got to have at whatever style you play. Offensively, you still need guys to get them out. Now maybe you might rely on ground ball pitchers as opposed to strikeout pitchers or something like that, depending on the park you're in. But no, you still need pitchers that get outs.
I still think we're approaching, and Auburn won't do this with the softball hire, I don't think. But the Gottlieb thing, you know, Doug Gottlieb getting the job at Green Bay, and part of his sales pitch being that he had private equity or whatever it was, investors willing to keep the NIL operation flush with cash as long as he was the head coach. Like it does feel like if the rules don't change, Bill, we're careening towards, hey, my dad's a billionaire. Hire me as the coach.
Who has either the better connections or the deeper pockets,
or the guy who used to be the Coastal Carolina head coach, right? Where it's like, hey, I just retired after 25 years at Wells Fargo,
chief executive.
Yeah, yeah, I just retired after 25 years on the board at some company. I've always wanted to be a basketball coach. Hire me, and I'll throw in, you know, seven figures of NIL money or so. I don't know. Those decisions seemed unthinkable not too long ago. And now it's like, well, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily throw the person out with a pitch like that. Although I think Auburn is not in a situation where they would need to go to that extreme for a place like softball. But it's going to be, like, circling back to the original point of this conversation, Bill, it feels like that's, if ever you're going to be patient with somebody in charge of a program,
right?
Like, I would say, considering the state of the SEC.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no kidding.
And Texas and Oklahoma.
Who are, yeah. Now is the Florida-Oklahoma game to determine Texas's opponent is going on right now.
See if I can get a score for you on that.
Because Oklahoma trying to four-peat in softball in Texas. Okay, Oklahoma did win.
In extras.
Okay, so it will be a matchup of the teams about to join the SEC playing for the national title with Oklahoma and Texas.
That's right, finishing off their time in the Big 12,
right.
Competing for a national championship against one another in softball, Texas and Oklahoma. They join an SEC. So the two teams participating in the national championship game, including Oklahoma, who's been, what, the Kentucky basketball of softball?
Yeah, like I said, they're going for a four-peat.
Yeah, I mean they've been the gold standard in that sport. They're joining the SEC, where every team in the SEC just made the NCAAs. Auburn, including Auburn, but it's an Auburn team now without a coach. With question marks at various positions. You can't blame any player who experiments with the portal or thinks about going somewhere else right now, considering the state of the program, without a coach. I mean, once a coach shows up, you'd hope they give him a fair chance, but it's it feels like it's going to be a rebuild for whoever shows up to replace McKinney.
Absolutely. So we'll keep an eye on that. I mean, every day you keep thinking, maybe something. John Cohen, I'll give him, he's really good at keeping things close to the vest. You really don't know, what's going on. But you know things are, but it's very difficult to get info.
He's hired a coach before, too.
Right?
Feeling like he knows.
He's done that a few times. Matter of fact, I was just in the process I thought about this the other day, but I waited a couple of days. What?
It was the cover.
Is that a support?
The cover to the little switch thing.
Oh, okay. But I'm going to see if we can't get John Cohen on the drive. Love to get Will Redmond as well. But I mean, but John Cohen with the changes in college athletics, with the
changes in latitude, changes in attitude.
Probably do create changes in attitude. you would sure think so.
I was going to toss an email to Tucker about having Coach Kleinert on at some point,
yeah,
too.
Sure.
It feels like that would probably be a good idea in the wake of Auburn men's golf bringing home the national championship. So maybe, we'll go on two fronts there, trying to talk to the head honcho, and also trying to talk to the national championship winning. And he just won the
coach of the year.
Yeah, forgive me. I don't know I forget off the top of my head who the coaching award is named after. But Nick Kleinert winning the coach of the year.
I can
Dave
tell you.
Williams. Yeah. is the namesake of the Coach of the Year award in men's college golf, and so Nick Kleinert named the winner of the 2024 Dave Williams D1 National Coach of the Year award presented by Golf Pride Grips, the GCAA, and Golf Channel. This was announced earlier today. So congratulations, as though he needs more congratulating after winning the national championship in men's golf, first one in the history of the program, also named Coach of the Year. You know what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Coach of the Year going to Nick Kleinert after he takes his team all the way to the championship.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, we'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Just underway, stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Be a part of the drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Well, we just did a little check of the equipment, and looks like we'll have to wait another day before we can continue taking calls. So we would encourage you, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can text us on the drive text box. That number is 334-564-1840. And, of course, that's sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Yeah, apologies again for the phones. We will get them working ASAP. The folks here at Auburn Network doing a great job getting everything back after the electrical storm last week. Really appreciate the hard work from the team here at
Auburn just saw
Network.
Terry. Just saw Terry here bringing some more equipment in just a little while ago.
Really appreciate it. So, Bill, we can bounce around a little bit, talk some Auburn baseball and Auburn softball there in the first segment of the show. And I mean, we talked yesterday with Brian. I think that there's big football recruiting happenings going on right now with regards to the class of 2025. Auburn trying to solidify that 25 class.
But yeah,
they've also got
they've got many future guys, but the class of 25, they're probably around halfway there with 11 commitments. It just came over my way. You chased it over here. So as we've talked with both Brian Matthews, Jason Caldwell, they'd like to be around 20 by the time practice gets started in August, or for sure by the time the season gets started.
They want the class of 25 to be
pretty
somewhere
much done.
Around 20,
yeah.
You know, 20 high school students,
yep.
And that's before they really get started. I mean, which is, I mean, a lot of the evaluating they'd be doing during the season would be like class of 26 guys, right? They'd be
that's what you'd like to do. That's what the teams at the top have been doing for the last few years. Alabama, Georgia, when they've been having those top-rated classes, they'd almost have those guys banked preseason. They'd be down maybe trying to fill two or three spots for their signing class for that year. In the meantime, they're recruiting a year or 2 years ahead, bringing in juniors and sophomores, bringing them in and building those relationships, and sometimes getting, early commitments, having two or three commitments from the class of that is just coming into their junior years.
Still a chance, though, that Auburn adds before the season starts to its
24?
To its 24 roster.
I think so. I think Auburn only has, I believe it's 78 scholarship players right now. So they've got spots. Now, you don't want to necessarily fill just to be filling spots, but if there's a position or two where you could use some help, some depth, some experience, we've seen Auburn really build the depth and experience on both lines of scrimmage. I think they've done a tremendous job on that in the transfer portal over the last year, and they've really helped themselves, obviously, at the receiver spot, not just through the high school class, but with the three transfer portal additions as well. But you look at Auburn was obviously looking for another linebacker before Khalil Jacobs decided on going to Missouri.
That's right.
So they were looking for one more player there. They've recruited a few different players in the secondary, mostly corner types. So I think that, that could be a possibility. A linebacker could be a possibility. We talked yesterday that, with the terrible situation with Brian Battee, Auburn may be looking for a fourth scholarship running back. So there are a few positions. Now, you would always think, hey, if there's a great player out there, regardless of position, you want to take him. I don't know that there's anybody like that out there because, as you said yesterday, it's June. It's June, and summer workouts are underway. The summer term is well underway. As a matter of fact, we just have a couple of weeks left in the first summer term here at Auburn, and you'd like for players to be in town and working out with their future teammates, and if possible, taking a class or two before the fall.
It's urgent if you want to play somewhere this fall and you're not like in pretty serious contact with them, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Not to overstate the situation, but I would say that's true of, at the very least, football, men's basketball, and women's basketball at the D1 level. Like if we're rounding out the first week of June here, if you're still if you don't know where you're going to be this fall, it's probably it's a sign that I wonder how many places treated you as a priority.
Yeah,
when you went into the portal. I mean, I've heard someone say, if you don't know where you're going when you get in the portal, it's a sign nobody's really, if you have no idea.
I would say if you have no idea, or if there hasn't been a little bit of buzz from folks about you getting in the portal,
is there a market?
Then maybe it wasn't a wise decision to do so.
Yeah, I don't know. It's certainly for. And we've talked about like Auburn's quarterbacks, like the guys behind Peyton Thorne. Like, oh, was Auburn going to be able to hold on to Hank and Holden and Walker? And it's like, I don't know if any of them had an opportunity for a lot more playing time at the D1 level.
Yeah, I was going to say not at the level that they are right now.
Yeah, certainly not.
Because they haven't proven anything.
At the SEC level? I mean, and certainly after spring practice is over. Like, most teams have somebody as experienced as them or more lined up to be the starter. I mean, a lot of teams in the SEC have gone out, and especially in this day and age, you can go out and get very experienced options to come in and be. I mean, the guy starting at Mississippi State for Lebby is going to be he was Baylor's starter for a year and a half, before getting into the portal. So I mean, these are at places that really struggled last year. They've gone out and gotten really experienced options. So yeah, it's the
only options that they probably would have had at this level would have been to be backups.
I mean,
it's like, come in and in a year or so maybe you'll get a chance. They've already had that going on here. They'd be further behind at some of those places than they are at Auburn.
I mean, I couldn't tell you a player in the portal right now, which is probably like a bad sign for football. I'd probably tell you a couple of men's basketball players, I think, especially after the NBA draft deadline, I think. But like, there was just a name that I would have said a couple of minutes ago, Bill, Trayvon Brazil, was still looking for options. The former Missouri and Arkansas big man,
right.
He's staying at Arkansas. It's a nice little.
That's a nice. I guess it's a get. Since
retention.
Calipari didn't really have him.
No, I mean so. He wasn't even in the locker room when Calipari met with the team, and there was no team earlier this offseason. So no, but it's this is. I would think Auburn has their pick of players still available just because, yeah, we're getting to a point where it's pretty urgent if you want to be on an SEC team this fall and you're not currently in the picture.
Yeah, it's funny. All right, when you said that, I decided to go over and check, and I'm looking through 24/7's transfer portal list, and I'm looking for the highest rated player who hasn't made a decision. Yeah, the top one is Jacoby Matthews from Texas A&M, who was is ranked as the number 66 player in the portal. Was a 4-star safety from Texas A&M that entered the portal. He entered the portal in April and still has not decided where he's going to go. So. And that's the only player, I believe, in the top 100. Yes, indeed. He is the only player in the top 100 transfers who is not at his new destination.
I believe Coy Moore is still in the portal.
I believe he is, too. I've not heard anything about
him. Former Auburn receiver who left the team after the spring. I don't know how many other of the Auburn players who jumped into the portal are still uncommitted, but I think Coy Moore remains uncommitted with his final year of eligibility.
Goodness, I'm scrolling on through, and I'm through the top 200, and there's one other, Sierre Wright, he's a corner, from South Carolina. Entered the portal also in April. He's ranked number 193. So those are there are only two players ranked in the top 200 players that enter the portal who have not decided on their destination yet. And I don't know the story on either of those two guys. Interesting that there are a couple of defensive backs, both from the SEC. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. It's 27 minutes away from 5 o'clock. Stick with us as we continue here on the Tuesday Drive.
At ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And yes, I believe we have made the decision. We're moving on without any more attempts today on the phones as we continue to try to get everything back in place. We'd love for you to text us, the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number, 334-564-1840.
Tough Braves news. A couple pieces of tough Braves news this season, right? I mean, you had the injury to Strider early on.
Strider and Acuna, you've only lost maybe the most overpowering pitcher and as talented an athlete as there is in Major League Baseball.
Now the Braves have been excellent at the deadline in the last couple of seasons, including maybe the best trade deadline ever, right, in 2021. I'd say the Red Sox and Art would argue, the 04 deadline brought them some key pieces as well. But I mean, it's a great trade deadline for AA back in 2001 till the end.
Oh, absolutely.
Rosario and Jock. And
Soler.
Soler. Iglesias, right, I want to say, was also
there. Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, we'll see. They again have some highly prized possessions in the minors or guys that have just come up to the majors. We'll see what they can do. I mean, they're still very much – I mean, it's been crazy because the Braves haven't really some of their main hitters have just not been performing at the level you would like, but they're still winning enough. I mean, it would still take it would be a shock if they don't make the postseason, even if they didn't make a lot of additions to the roster.
I could see them wanting more for postseason play against the best teams, though.
Oh, yes.
And they could be in more of a struggle. And you also have the possibility for, like, some of the overachievers early could be candidates for regression. I don't know. I mean, I guess my number one pick there would be Chris Sale, as far as like guys who probably can't continue doing what they've done the first two.
Well, it just depends. Can he stay healthy?
Yeah.
Because when he's healthy, he's great.
And then,
but he hasn't been able to stay healthy.
And Charlie's older. You know, that's the you know, that's the other. You know, so I could see. I could see a what, like a corner outfielder and a starting pitcher would
absolutely
be the, would be the hopes. You know, I guess there's a couple, you know, a couple teams. I mean, there will be a market there near the bottom of the league, depending on
the Marlins. You know. I mean, you got to look at the Marlins. That's the team that is going
to
shed more.
To me, the most interesting possible name, if he comes back and plays well and the team wises up, is Trout. Like, to me, that's the most interesting deadline name that could be out there would be if Mike Trout, and I know there's, I know it's iffy, and I know the Angels have other more pressing, I know like Tyler Anderson is probably going to be somebody who's traded from the Angels to a contender, former Dodgers starting pitchers, having a pretty good season. He could be on the Braves before the season's over if they want to add to the starting pitching. But if, but and Taylor Ward is a name that's been kicked around as potential trade deadline piece. I would love to see I'd love to see Trout playing meaningful baseball in October, like healthy and in the postseason somewhere.
A team that's closer to his original home would very much be in that picture too, and that's the Phillies.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just and
can you imagine if they added Trout to I mean, of course Bryce has moved from the outfield to first base. They could use it. They could use another. Another outfielder.
And maybe I'm like maybe I am too willing to raise the white flag, you know, when it comes to our should we be a seller or not at the deadline. But I wanted Trout traded 3 years ago, Bill. I wanted Soto traded years ago. I thought these teams would be in better situations. The Rockies bungled multiple deadlines where they had outfielders.
They didn't trade Arenado, but I mean.
They did, but not at the deadline.
No, I mean,
they had multiple guys. Remember when CJ Cron was an all-star? And they could have gotten something for him, or Daniel Bard, or Charlie Blackman, or I mean there's multiple options. We'll see what they do at this deadline. No, I mean I get what Ryan McMahon would be.
Ryan McMahon very much.
There'd be a market for Ryan McMahon.
Yeah, because he's having his best year.
Yeah, don't I know?
That's it. When you need to trade him.
Don't I know it? I'm a year late. On Ryan McMahon, but no, that's a no. I just think the Braves. I would expect even before the Acuña injury, I would have expected a busy trade deadline for the Braves because they're the Braves and it's competitive at the top of the National League this year with the Phillies.
Yeah, you don't want
and the Dodgers.
Well, you don't want someone else to make their team even better if you're and you're not. Especially when you're not ahead of them.
And I think L.A. and Philly are both candidates to maybe add something. Although L.A., I mean, where would the Dodgers add? Infield?
Well, they might still add an outfielder.
Could add an outfielder. You're right. I mean, they've tried different pieces there in the outfield, but they could be looking to solidify a bat somewhere there in the
Well, I mean, they got to worry about third base a little bit, too. I mean, Max Muncy apparently shut down in his rehab. So you know they might go for a corner,
and a lot of the interior options are like hanging in there. But they're asking so much of Ohtani, Mookie, Freddie, Will Smith at the top of that lineup, right? Because if you get past them, it becomes for a team trying to win.
Probably, I mean, really, after that, the kids probably. Been the next best guy.
You're right. No, I mean, well, it isn't Kike. It isn't.
And Chris Taylor. He's having a nightmare.
It's not Jason Hayward.
Of a year. No.
I mean, it's. I mean, oh, yeah, Teoscar.
You're right.
Cooling off a little bit. Yeah. But after him, I would say that's a lineup that, especially if you want to keep pace. If the big pieces on the Braves heat up and the Phillies continue,
I mean the Phillies right now are playing amazing baseball.
It feels like their league, like in the National League right now. Like that's not to say it can't turn.
Got 100 games to go.
100 games to go, but it does feel like, I mean, Philly is, for all the Braves versus Dodgers talk, the Phillies have quietly emerged as probably the best team in the National
League. Well, their pitching has been just ridiculous.
Yeah. And they got Bryce.
Really has. Yep.
And you always have Bryce there in the middle of the lineup, who's just, you know, he's a threat.
Their lineup's pretty stout.
Yeah.
I mean, Realmuto, I mean, they've Schwarber. I mean, obviously not the prototypical leadoff guy, but I mean, he gets on base, and they've got Pop They've got
some of the outfielders, right?
Pretty good speed.
Marsh and
Marsh is having a really good year.
Marsh having a good season.
Castellanos is not yet.
Sosa.
And the Braves are playing pretty
boy.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know that's not great for Braves fans to hear, but I mean, yeah, when Ranger Suarez is having the kind of year that he's had, and Christopher Sanchez pitching well, you've already got Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. I mean, that is a really, really good rotation.
Yeah, Jeff Passan did the ESPN.com mm-hmm. list of like potential sellers, and he thought in the National League, the Rockies, the Marlins, the Mets.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Marlins have already traded Luis Arraez, so I mean, they will trade some guys. Maybe you hang on to a player or two that you think you're going to build around, but I'd come checking on anybody of value with the Marlins
to see what you can get. The only national position player under contract for next season is Keibert Ruiz. So there's thinking that they could do a fire
sale. Garcia's having a really good year for a middle infielder.
They could do a fire sale pretty easily. Lane Thomas could be available. Nick Senzel could be available. If they wanted to
Lane sell Thomas to. Lane Thomas is interesting. He's come back from injury and picked right up. You know, last year he was a nearly 30-30 guy.
Hunter Harvey, maybe in the bullpen, you know, guys like
Kyle that. Finnegan has been ridiculous. Yeah, Kyle Finnegan's got an ERA of about 1.5 now and 16-17 saves. I mean, bullpen is always an area where you're looking. Finnegan from Washington, Tanner Scott of the Marlins. I believe Scott's a free agent after the end of this year. So, I mean, I don't expect them, especially Scott, I don't expect him to be with the Marlins after the trade deadline.
Do the Cubs sell? Or do they buy?
I don't think so yet. Yeah. I mean, right now the Cubs are, I think they're tied for a wild card spot right now. So, now the Cubs are – they're probably looking for bullpen. Cubs are probably looking for, I mean, they've got Hector Neris has been okay, but I mean, I think they'd like a more solid guy there at the end.
Cubs were 10-18 in May. If they are 8 or 10 games under .500 again in June.
Yeah, they're just two games under right now.
Probably easier. If that goes in the wrong direction between now and the deadline, could be easier. Ian Happ could be, I don't know.
There are a few Cubs.
I mean, there's a couple Cubs, yeah, that could be, could attract.
There are a lot of Cubs that would be very interesting to other teams. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, right now, I think the Cubs are sort of in a holding pattern. Cubs, Cards, Pirates, Giants, Padres. I guess Diamondbacks, too. All those teams are just – they're around .500 or just under. I think I heard the other day, and let me check now.
Alonso? Alonso getting traded?
Very well could.
Goldschmidt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think could. So. I think so, too.
There were, I mean, the other day – Goldschmidt. On Monday – not Monday. Going – yeah, after Sunday, there were only five National League teams over .500. Right now, the Phillies, Braves, Brewers. It's still five. Dodgers and Padres, and the Padres are one game over .500. There are only five out of 15 teams in the National League are over .500. Now, however, the Phillies are 23 games over .500. The Dodgers are 15 games over. The Brewers 12 over, and then the Braves 9, and the Padres 1. So, I mean, the top teams in the National League are much, much better. But what that's doing with the wild card, with the multiple wild cards, you've got quite a few teams. You got most of the National League is still in the wild card race. So it's very difficult for them to decide that they want to sell right now when there's a chance they could still be in the postseason.
It's tough to decide early to sell. I still think there are teams that'll say, okay, we're a couple games out of the wild card.
Oh, yeah, but let's give it to the 4th. By the time we get to the 4th of July, I think you'll have a much better idea.
You could have some teams looking at payroll and saying, oh boy, that guy might have to go play somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Again, text us. We'd love for you to join in 334-564-1840 as we continue here on the Tuesday Drive.
What's it mean to be a Four Seasons Federal Credit Union member? It means your family. We know you by name and care about your financial.
Hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Bill and Dan in the studio. Drew at the controls doing a capable job as always, and we really appreciate the work Drew is doing as we look to probably not going to have Jake Crane in hour number two as. As we look ahead to hour number two here on the drive with Jake Crane. We usually have Jake on Tuesdays. Probably not going to be able to have Jake this time. But we'll look ahead to when things are operational. We'll have Jake back on the show very soon.
I was going to say we could run down the Super Regionals here. Go ahead and bring that down. Yeah, we could run down the Super Regionals that we have with five SEC teams, four of them hosting regionals. It is a very heavy former last time, former SEC East teams as Tennessee hosting. Regional Tennessee will be hosting Evansville. You will have Georgia hosting NC State, Texas A&M hosting Oregon. Those are the SEC teams, and Kentucky hosting Oregon State. So those are the SEC teams hosting. Meanwhile, Florida State hosting UConn, North Carolina, which bumped off LSU, will be hosting along with Clemson. And let's see, did I miss one? Virginia. So those are the eight sites for the Super Regionals, which will get underway. Four of them Friday. The other four will start on Saturday, best of threes, to determine the teams in the College World Series. So still good representation from the SEC, but probably a little disappointed that with 11 teams in, they didn't get six or more in. But, I mean, still, the SEC showing its dominance once again. And it's pretty much the way we expect to see it in just about every sport.
Yeah, so. Tennessee, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Kentucky, the four SEC teams left, correct? That's the four of the
Florida's three. In it as well. They're not hosting. Yeah. Florida is the fifth team. They're at the Clemson regional.
That's right. The four SEC teams host. Four SEC teams hosting.
Right.
Tennessee, Georgia, A&M, and Kentucky, and then Florida advancing, and they're playing Clemson. I thought Arkansas was going to be able to make some noise, but didn't really work out for them in regional play. A&M has looked so good all season long, and Tennessee's number one for a reason. I still think the SEC has an excellent chance of winning the national championship.
Yeah, I've got to look at the possible. They'll receive. We'll see what's left after this, but you got to think so. Absolutely have to think so. Tennessee looks pretty scary right now. All right, we'll get to our top of the hour break. Halfway done here on the Tuesday Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two here on the Tuesday edition of the drive. Hope everybody doing well. A little overcast this afternoon. I know there was a chance of rain, but it's been pretty nice. A little more humid, but, I mean, it is June. So, it's nothing compared to what it's going to be. Welcome in, everybody. It's the Tuesday Drive, hour number two, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we are going to, here in hour number two, I believe we can take calls. Now, we won't be able, Drew will not be able to screen the calls, because the calls are coming directly in to the board. So when you call in, it should answer automatically, and you will hear a swish sort of sound. That means that you are ready to go on the air. And we will not know who we're speaking to, but we'll welcome you in. And hopefully everything will work from there. We are able to make outgoing calls, so that's good news. That means we'll be able to check in with Jake Crane of Crane & Company at the bottom of this hour. Now, the phone number is the same number that it has always been here with the Drive Hotline. Is still 334-321-1390. Love for you to join in. And again, just be prepared for a different type answering. You'll hear that connection sound, and then we'll get to you as quickly as we can.
The Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. You can shoot us a text at 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box and leave us a message that way. Southeastern Industrial Contractors also sponsoring the podcast, available however you get your podcasts.
Yep, in hour number one, we talked about a few things. I mean, it is a time where there will be a good bit of activity involving recruiting, football recruiting especially, as camps are going on. There will be quite a few players visiting for the classes of 25 and beyond, as some 26, 27 players come in and saw that Cam Coleman's younger brother, Bobby Coleman Jr., who I believe is just heading into his sophomore year, already has an offer from Auburn, came in and was very impressive at a camp. So, you know, there'll be news of that type, and don't be surprised if there's some commitments as we proceed through the summer, although a lot of the players, as Brian Matthews was saying yesterday, will camp at a couple of places, and then especially the upcoming seniors for the class of 25 would be looking at possibly making decisions before their schedule gets started in August.
Yeah, June's a busy month for the football coaches, right? Because so much fits recruit. I mean, it's one of the few. I mean, you can do some preparation for the upcoming season, but I think a lot of it now is, and I guess there could be some recruiting going on with players for the upcoming year too. We're just talking about, you know, there are still some players in the portal, there are still some players in the that are looking for a home for next season, although you know, the time's a wasting if you don't have your landing spot for next year. But it's largely a recruiting month. It's largely a, mm-hmm. you know, what we got passing camps. Used to be a big...
Yeah, huge 7-on-7.
I was going to say it was a big passing academy 7-on-7 month. Mm-hmm. It traditionally was in Auburn. That tapered off some towards the end of Malzahn. Some people would point to...
Yeah, and there didn't seem to be nearly as many.
No, and it was
a couple of years.
I don't think it was just COVID either.
I don't think it was.
I mean, COVID devastated the 2020 and 21. I know the schedules were really thrown off by those disruptions. I don't know if that was the only thing with Auburn and you know, now they get back to Hugh Freeze, I remember hearing during the Ole Miss days, right, that was a huge. I mean, he emphasizes, and he's done it at Auburn, you know, turning your school, regardless of its history, turning it into a destination for the best wide receivers. And he used passing camps to do that. He used passing camps and passing academies to do that at Ole Miss. And he's using every weapon at his disposal to do it at Auburn. And one would think that would include, you know, trying to lure receivers to these 7-on-7s and these, you know, getting guys to camp this upcoming summer at Auburn.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, we just we talked with Brian yesterday about the top player in the state of Mississippi and one of the top receivers in the country, saying that Auburn's at the top of his list for next year, and that Auburn had all four of the freshmen receivers who are now here with Malcolm Simmons and Perry Thompson on campus, along with Cam Coleman and Bryce Kane, doing their best to try to add another outstanding young receiver to the receiver corps. So,
and I think he also wants to add a quarterback.
Oh, no, you know, doubt about that. That is critical.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, if Auburn can pull off Juju, mm-hmm. like that, I mean, it would be, I mean, Auburn is not out of high school, I mean, Bo Nix is Bo Nix. It felt like the circumstances were a little bit extenuating there because he was
an Auburn legacy.
Grown up an Auburn fan, you know, whatever. Beyond Bo, I mean, you got to go back to, what, Jason? Right?
A very highly touted.
Consensus five-star out of high school. I mean, Cam, people would point to, but that was a junior college deal.
Yeah, he was a transfer. Right.
I mean, Auburn landed some Jeremy.
Jeremy was a four-star. High four-star.
I believe Neil was a four. Mm-hmm. But it's, I mean, you don't have as many of the, I mean, it's just like with Obamanu, you know, you'd have to go back decades to the last time Auburn landed a recruit. Like, I mean,
Auburn. And that's what Auburn and just about every school would love to do is bring in a top-notch quarterback prospect every year. And because you're not going to be able to keep all of them, but if you have, you know, if you have one in sort of line of succession, you've got a much better chance. All right, we're going to try. I think we have a caller. All indications are we have a caller on the line. And let's get to the Drive hotline and welcome in our first caller post. Well, whatever.
What hath God wrought?
Yeah, hi. Who are we speaking to?
This is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry's good hearing from you.
Yeah. I just wondered if Juju Lewis had visited yet.
No, he is visiting, I believe, next weekend when Auburn's having its biggest weekend of June.
Well, we should be in good shape.
Yeah, Auburn's hoping it's a Juju June.
Yeah, it's the closest school to Carrollton. So.
Well, I mean, obviously that's never been a huge deal for him, the most important thing since he was committed to Southern Cal.
I think he likes the program, though, just from what I've read.
Sounds like it. It sounds like it. I mean, with players like that, I mean, you just, have to cross your fingers, hold your breath, and hope. But I think Auburn's done everything that they can up to this point, and they're sure not stopping yet.
Yeah, at least I got a visit from him.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, guys. Glad y'all are back.
Well, I'm glad you
Thanks, Jerry.
Glad you called in. Again, we welcome your calls. When you call in,
now, can we hang up on Jerry? Do we have a way of doing
that? Yeah, we're not sure about that. But when you call in, it will ring until it connects. When it connects, you'll hear that swishing sound. It'll
unplug the line from the phone.
No, I don't think we'll do that. But when you hear that, that means that you are in queue, basically, for us here online. Man, as I looked out the window, it looks like we might get a little thunderstorm here.
I think we're mostly
Please,
back.
Please, God, with, no. We don't need to. We're getting the phones back.
I think we're mostly back with the phones.
And as I say that, it's like, please, no, because we got the. I think we do have the phones working. And let's get back to the Drive hotline. Hi, who have we got on?
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, it's Shane. Y'all hear me?
Shane,
yeah, hey, Shane.
We can hear you. Sorry, we're doing it. We're doing it Larry King style now, where we find out on the air.
Yeah, we don't know who's. We have no way of screening the calls, but it's good that we are able to get calls again.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah.
Yes, it's been a while. I haven't called in before the storm in a while. So, I was going to say about the softball coaching search. We can't hire her yet because she's still playing in the national title, the Oklahoma coach. So that's why we haven't hired her yet.
Well, I mean,
still playing.
Well,
here's hoping.
You hope it's something like that. Absolutely.
I don't know if it's just the Oklahoma coach. The reason that program is as dominant as it is, but
we'd have to come. I don't know what would be the scenario if there is one. To get her to leave Oklahoma, but
yeah, I'd say surely it wouldn't be crazy to be looking at assistance at programs like that, but I mean, it just depends on exactly what John Cohen's looking for.
Yeah, you know, I started the show saying we really need to be, as a program, you better be ready to be patient with whoever takes over here, and maybe this is a reason to go young, right? Like maybe this is a reason to go with a younger coach because it might be not a lengthy rebuild, but it's going to be a rebuild with the conference and the state it's in right now while Auburn is still looking for a coach.
So do you think we're going for that route, like a younger? I mean, if it's an assistant coach of a high caliber program, I'm actually okay with that, and give her or him 4 or 5 years to get it loaded up, versus are we going with the already known coach? Or I mean, do we know any of the criteria? I mean, like, is there any coaches that we've heard of from Cohen, or is it kind of hush-hush?
Well, you haven't heard him from John Cohen, but there was a report today that Kenny Gajewski, the head coach at Oklahoma State, had been approached by Auburn, but he's decided to stay there at Oklahoma State. So that is a name that had been brought up a couple of weeks ago, and he's a very proven and respected head coach. So, that doesn't mean that John Cohen's only going after established head coaches, but that gives you an idea that one definitely was.
I just hope that if we do go that route of the assistant coach, we're not going to settle. I hope that we're not settling. And I'm willing to wait and get that perfect coach. Even if it's a good assistant coach that we can bring up, I just don't want to settle for I guess we have to get the assistant coach from La Tech or something like that. I was happy when we were winning some games. We were adding on to the field, the stadium. We were it was nice for a little bit, but.
I'd be surprised if Auburn. I mean, look, if the right person happens to be an assistant in a mid-major right now, I'll trust John Cohen. But I think Auburn feels like they can still, they have their pick of a lot of the coaches in college softball.
This is still the best conference. I mean, it's not even close. The best conference in college softball.
Not any coach in college softball, but they've got their pick of a lot of the coaches college softball. And I, the longer it goes with the portal open, the more nervous you should get, because it feels like time is of the essence right now.
Yeah, that's the worst thing about this situation now is you can't just you can't just feel like, well, we've got all the time in the world to make this decision. You want to make the right decision, but in the meantime, players that are in the portal are making decisions, and that's going to affect your ability to compete.
Yeah, I've already, and I hope most Auburn fans are already kind of like, tampering down my expectations for next year and just going to enjoy the season, the softball season, win or lose, and not have really
that's
high
a good
expectations
idea.
Because we are losing a lot, new regime and all that. I hope the Auburn fan base can kind of temper the expectations and just enjoy the game for the next season or two. Anyway, guys, I'm glad we can talk again.
Yeah, it's great hearing from you, Shane. Thanks for the call.
Good stuff, Shane.
334-321-1390.
You love giving the number
like
where it works.
Giving that number. And we will get to our first break of hour number two. Don't forget, we'll be checking in with Jake Crane of Crane & Company at the bottom of the hour here on the Tuesday Drive.
Hey, this is Garrett.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
Online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, and yes, we have rearranged some of the equipment. Drew is now seated direct. We've moved the phone directly in front of Drew because, as we've been saying, it's great to have the ability to take phone calls again. Our thanks go out to, Terry Harper especially, but Riley Hubbard has been working, trying to get us, back in as close to full action as possible. And we are able to take calls. However, we are unable to screen the calls. We don't really answer the calls. When you call in, it will directly hook you up, and you will be in queue here ready to talk to us, and then we'll have to sort of go to it without knowing who we're talking to. But it's still great to be able to have you be able to check in with us on the phones, and you can do so. The phone number, The Drive Hotline, 334-321-1390. 1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840. Drive Text Box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. And again, yeah, shout out to the Auburn Network team for getting our phone lines back and operational.
Something I wanted to get, and it's great now that we can get your and our listeners and callers' thoughts on this, is an article that Nathan King wrote earlier today. He posted a story. John Cohen and Greg Byrne were sort of on a panel on an Alabama site, and one of the things that John Cohen mentioned was he would like to see the college football playoffs expanded even more. He, of course, was at Mississippi State when Mike Leach was saying, let's make it a 64-team playoff. And and John, who we'd love to get here on the show, and I've sent a request out. Hopefully we can have John join us here on the drive now that
I'm on
phones
board.
Are working.
Bill, I'm on. You know, 32 is a lot. For 32 would be – that would be – I believe someone says – 32 would be proportional with how many of the men's basketball teams
right.
from Division I.
Because there are 300 and something, schools in basketball.
Right. So it'd be something like that.
And there are 100 and something in football.
You know what? With the way bowl games are, with the way bowl games are decreasing in importance.
You'd be playing for a whole lot more.
I mean, the way that everyone who doesn't make the playoffs stands to lose their whole team in the portal.
Yeah.
I mean, 32 with an auto bid for every conference champion, and then what do you think of that, Bill? 32 with an auto bid for every conference champion, and then you take the next, 22 as at-larges?
Yeah,
a committee picks
that. Sounds good to me.
I mean, it's an extra round. I do understand that it'll leave 8-4 teams in the mix potentially for the college football playoff.
So what? I mean, in every sport, you see teams that are barely over 500. We've seen a team 4 games over 500 win a World Series.
I mean, once you grew it past 2 or 4, right? Like then I think have a playoff that, I mean, as much as I love the college football regular season, and I think the downside would be, you're turning an 8-4 season from back to the drawing board to maybe.
Yeah, but again, like we've said, if you lose a couple early and you really start playing well, I mean, you've got a chance. So
it's a delicate balance because you're taking away the importance of every regular season game the larger the postseason gets. But the larger the postseason gets, the more
postseason means more.
I know.
All right. 334-321-1390. We'll get back to the drive hotline. Hi, who are we got on?
This is Tex.
Hey, Tex.
Hey, it's just like being on hold. Dan talked the whole time. I've been waiting for – I got my swish about 2.5 minutes ago. Just kidding, Dan. I've been waiting to give
Tex,
you a
once
treat.
Once we find out how to hang up on people, you're in huge trouble.
It'd be like calling home. So, hey, I'm the last Morris to ever get a swish sound. All the others play basketball. So, at a whopping 5'10", I'm not much of a basketball player. Anyway, a couple things. Number one, doesn't division, the FCS, don't they play with a 32-game playoff? Sorry, I'm a 32-team playoff.
I believe the FCS playoff is 32 teams. I could double check on that, but yeah. I think that's where it is now.
It's not uncommon. You take away, you would have some bowls left. You know, you take another 20 or another 32 teams, and they go play in some of the bowls, but play top seed gets the home field advantage, just like you would in any other type of playoff like that, and go through it. I think it's a great idea.
FCS bracket is 24 teams from this past year.
24?
They take 20. Yeah.
So I think 32 comes down to 16, down to 8, 4, 2, 1, and then I like that idea. You play into mid-January when about school starts. So what really caused me to call in is, number one, I've been sitting in traffic because it's raining so hard here, Bill, that I've been looking for an old man building a boat out in the field.
Oh, my.
So it's the phone call about the Oklahoma coach. I have a neighbor that may or may not live two doors down from me who's in the college softball Hall of Fame and has two fields named after in the state of Louisiana, who happened to have mentioned that possibly we had been in touch with the head coach at Oklahoma. I'm speaking a bit. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to share that information.
Too late.
I can tell you. Well, I can tell you we've contacted her. Okay. Her best friend lives two doors down from me.
Wow.
So I'd rather not say who that best friend is, because then she gets back to her, I get in trouble. But she's the one that originally said, what the hell did you hire Sonny Galloway for?
Yep. I remember you telling me that.
Exactly. So it's very interesting. And all I have to do is look at what Coach Cohen has done with programs in our athletic department. Why would it surprise us if he didn't go to the top, one of the top schools? I believe our facilities are better.
Yeah, it's no reason not to aim big. Aim high.
Yeah. Our facilities are better. We're closer to South Florida to be able to recruit. They're coming into the conference anyway. We probably will pay more than what they were paying her. Why not? Why not go after them? So, anyway, that's just a thought. Number two is, it's interesting to hear the tone change to comparing to the previous regime and maybe even a little bit farther back, that recruiting seems to go on about every week.
Yeah.
It seems like our guys are quite active.
It felt like at times it wasn't going on for a month.
Relentless is the word that people have used to describe the Hugh Freeze approach to recruiting.
I think that is a great word to use. They are relentless, and they're not only going to see kids, the best kids at the schools. They're going in, and the coaches know them, and the coaches are, all the kids are getting introduced to the coach that comes in from Auburn to recruit, not just going to see the one guy that they're recruiting.
Well, you never know. You know what? I had a coach tell me a long time ago, Tex, that the reason you do that is because you never know which one of those freshmen might turn into a five-star in a couple of years and will remember that you came over and said hi to him when he was in ninth grade.
Yeah, without question. Well, look, it's getting bad again, so I can't stay on the phone much longer. But it's great that you're back on. I'm not sure I'm happy about the switch system, but I'm sure you'll get that fixed soon, too.
Oh, yeah. Hey, at least we can get calls back on. It's good hearing from you.
You sounded great, Tex.
All right, guys. Y'all take care.
All right. We will get to our bottom of the hour break. It is about time for us to make an outgoing call.
All right.
We'll see how that one works as Jake Crane of Crane & Company joins us when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive.
Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. We are efforting Jake Crane. I think he's busy at the moment, so we're efforting him.
Hey, Jake is in Europe, so he'll be.
Well,
he'll
he
be
is busy.
Soon. Yeah, he will be. He sent a note, but I think he texted the studio phone line last week, which isn't going to work. And I think he just realized, maybe he's listening on the stream. Bon voyage, Jake. And we will.
Well,
we
caught him boarding a plane one time.
We did.
No, best. Yeah, yeah. Have a great time, Jake. We'll check in with him next week. And one of the problems one of the problems we had was we weren't on the air last Tuesday, so there wasn't. We haven't had as much communication with him.
You also can't text our studio line if Jake.
You
if
can
Jake
text indeed, it, but we won't get it.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see. but it's no. Jake's Jake is he's got the week off, and that's all right. We'll talk to Jake next week when he's back on this side
hopefully,
of the Atlantic
Hope he
Ocean.
Has a great time over there.
Phone line's back open for another segment if folks want to
jump in.
Haven't talked any men's basketball today. I mean, really no news since the Miles Kelly story, you know, Auburn picking up the George Tech transfer and rounding out the roster. But the expectations, the expectations are sky high, Bill. You don't think there's ever been a year where your top two teams in the preseason going into the year in the SEC were Auburn and Alabama, right? Like, you don't think?
No, not that. And I've been around a while. Not that I can recall, and I'm pretty darn sure that's never happened in the portion of my life that I can remember.
Well, years
that's most of.
Well, here's why it's pretty easy to remember that, Bill. I mean, years where one of those two is number one in the preseason in the SEC are fairly uncommon.
Right.
Years where either Auburn or Alabama is the preseason pick to win the SEC in men's basketball, you can sort those years out pretty easily. And then in any of those years,
the others usually not nearly as good.
Yeah, they're certainly not in the mix to be number two.
No.
But you've got a situation this year. Alabama will be the preseason in multiple, like maybe not the consensus, because Kansas has a lot of supporters.
Oh, I thought you were talking in the conference. In the SEC, they will be the consensus. Preseason.
I think
top pick.
Nationally, Alabama will be one of the
trendy picks.
They'll be a top five. They'll be a preseason one seed in Lenardi's bracket. Kansas is probably their chief competition to be the number one team in the country. Gonzaga brings back a lot from a team that was up and down but got really good towards the end of the year, made a tournament run. So, you know, I think there's going to be some competition there for Alabama in the national polls. But you're right, in the SEC, Auburn is the only team that I would expect to be picked ahead of Auburn in the SEC preseason would be Alabama. I mean, people like A&M, understandably,
and,
with what
and,
they return.
And the expectations are that John Calipari is going to you're going to have Arkansas contending again.
He's done very well for someone who started with no
Nothing.
Roster, you know, two mm-hmm. 2 months ago. I think Mark Pope has built a good-looking roster at Kentucky. And Josh Hubbard, excellent player at Mississippi State. I mean, there's good teams in the SEC. I saw a preseason poll that had, seven or eight SEC teams in the top 25. But Auburn and Alabama look like the class of the league at the moment going in, and Alabama landing Sears for another year. I mean, he's going to be one. I mean, Sears and Caleb Love both returned to college basketball the same day, and I think those are like those two guys are competing against each other to be National Player of the Year. With the season Caleb Love just had at Arizona, Pac-12 Player of the Year in their final season as a Pac-12 team, and Mark Sears with the year he just had. Chennai would be in this mix, especially among
– He would be. And you know what? Somebody reminded me the other day that Wade Taylor was a preseason Player of the Year last year in the SEC, and he's back.
Yeah, Wade Taylor back as the – you know, after being the preseason SEC Player of the Year just a year ago. And Josh Hubbard would be a really trendy pick, I think, in a lot of places.
Yeah, not bad for a sophomore.
After the season he just had at Mississippi State, like there are some excellent players mm-hmm. returning to the SEC. But with Sears coming back, I think that puts an Alabama team that had already added some really nice pieces to the roster that puts them over the top of the conference.
Yeah. So it will be. I mean, it is crazy to think about something that has never happened. And it's going to be the case. Auburn, with so much talent returning and then adding very important pieces from the transfer portal, despite all the concerns as, you know, some players opting to go elsewhere. I mean, Auburn brings in a leading scorer from an ACC team and a player who was a leading rebounder on his team a couple of years ago before he transferred up to the D1 level. This is a little bit of a change in direction for Auburn. J.P. Pegues is coming from a mid-major at Furman, but Auburn bringing in two transfers from Power 5 conferences, which is not usually the norm for Bruce Pearl.
No, and Miles Kelly, you know, someone who had flirted with the NBA draft, you know, after playing at Georgia Tech these last couple of seasons, you know, that's not. I mean, Auburn had gone to the portal. I guess KD would be
soon. Auburn,
and Walker. You know, Auburn had landed mm-hmm. a couple of major conference transfers as well. But it's a no. It seems like Bruce has been really eager to grab guys who want the opportunity to jump up from the
mid-major.
Make that
step.
Yeah, guy, you know, we talked to Dylan about it during the season. You know, there's a hunger that comes from, yeah, if you weren't supposed to be an SEC player coming out of high school, if the coaches told you, some of these guys have heard that from coaches, you're probably not an SEC player. You probably won't make the major conference ring. You don't have this or you don't have that. And I'm sure it's vindicating for Jani Broom or Denver Jones or J.P. Pegues to play their way back in. And Bruce has had success with guys who were told, hey, you know, you probably don't. I mean, we talked about it a little bit on the Observer podcast last night, and people could forget this, but, I mean, Jared and Bryce were not coming to the SEC.
No.
If Auburn didn't sign them.
Was Jared going to UNC Asheville? No, I mean, Bryce?
Bryce had committed to Charlotte.
Charlotte, that's
but
who
I,
it was.
But I think people thought that he was going to flip to Georgia Southern before Auburn got into the picture. And then Jared, I think people thought, was going to South Alabama if it hadn't been for Auburn. They were looking like Sun Belt players until Bruce Pearl identified them. And Bryce finishes his Auburn career having hit more threes, right, than anyone in the history of the SEC. So it's been a strategy that has provided some success for Bruce Pearl, and it's also it's provided some guys with an opportunity to come to the SEC who otherwise may not have been able to come here.
Yeah, and as we've talked, I mean, it's really interesting to look at the possibilities of lineups for Auburn this next year with Miles Kelly coming in. He's not going to be somebody that's going to be in the point picture, so that means that someone else is going to have to move in there, and we saw Denver Jones get a few minutes last year at the point. Obviously, Tahad Pettiford is someone who, you know, Bruce has sort of backed away from the he is not a point guard. He's still not saying he is primarily a point guard, but he will have to, he will have to be someone that can give you some minutes if needed there at the point guard spot, because J.P. Pegues isn't going to play 40 minutes a game. Now, he may play 30, though, and that's something I think a lot of people get caught up in last year, or the, you know, that recency thought that, well, it's going to be just like last year. I don't know that that's the case. Maybe it will. But just because we saw something last season and quite a few of those players are back doesn't mean it's going to be the same scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bruce likes a situation where he feels good enough about his point guards that one of them only needs 20 or 22 or 25 minutes a game, but I think Bruce
Don't you think he would have liked to have had somebody that he felt better with? He would feel like this guy needs 25 to 30 minutes a game.
Well, I think Bruce would love to have two point guards who both need 20 minutes a game.
Right.
But if he only has one who, you know, needs to be out there the bulk of the time, he's shown in his career, whether it was with Jared or Javon or Sharif, he'll play a point guard Wendell Green. He'll play a point guard more than 30 minutes a game if that's the best thing for the offense, and I would think the best thing for the team. And I would think the best thing for the team is heavy minutes for J.P. Pegues. Although, if Tahad Pettiford is highly advanced for a freshman, maybe the number of minutes you need out of J.P. Pegues and Denver Jones goes down a little bit, although I suppose Miles Kelly and Chad Baker Mazzara could also provide. They're both capable of providing minutes at the two,
right?
If you need. Now, I think that, you know,
I think you've got a great situation with wings, with 2-3, yeah, with the 2-3 spot. With we talked about it with Justin and with Brian. I mean, and Jason. I mean, the fact that you've got three guys who you wouldn't have any problem starting at the two spots.
Sure. No, I mean, I think the thought of 27 minutes for, I mean, if Jones doesn't play any one, the thought of playing Jones, Baker Mazzara, and Kelly 27 minutes each and getting your 80 minutes that way, you know, at the two and the three, I think is an attractive, an attractive proposition. And that's before you get into
Ja'Kai Howard.
That's before you get into Ja'Kai Howard. That's before remember that Chris Moore can play some minutes at the three. I mean, I think Turtle's more of a four.
Yeah, but he is. He definitely is more of a four.
But he could be. You know, he could be in the mix there. But it's and then you've got, you know, the fantasy lineups with Chad at the four or Denver at, you know, playing
Denver at the point.
Denver at the one with a bit. Yeah. So, I mean, but even ignoring all of that, just looking at the two and the three and looking at your three veterans, Miles Kelly is a veteran even if he's not, you know, has
not a veteran of Auburn,
wars at Auburn, but he, you know, the guy's seen, he's seen combat.
3 years in the ACC.
Yeah, he's not coming in, you know, from boarding school or something. But it's between Denver and Chad and Kelly, you've got three guys that could combine for 80 minutes a game at the two and the three, which provides, you know, I think a really solid base there. If you just want JP and Tahad specializing at the one, and just your traditional bigs, Janai and Dylan and Turtle and
Chaney
and Chaney Johnson as your primary options at the four and the five.
Yeah, I mean it's a very exciting set of possibilities that you look at.
Yeah, they didn't have as much
summer.
They didn't have as much work to do as other teams in the SEC because they bring back as much production as they do, and I think the work they've done to bring in a J.P. Pegues, a Miles Kelly, and Turtle, along with Jakai Howard, who, you know, I'm a little bit, I always view the, oh, he's such a great athlete, the basketball stuff will round it up. I always view that with a little bit of skepticism, right, because it does seem like the most important stuff is the basketball stuff. Like,
yeah, you're there to be a basketball player.
Yeah, the most important stuff.
You're playing basketball. You're not playing athletic.
Oh, he's athletic. He's great. He just can't shoot. It's like, well, and again, I'm not saying people have said that about Jakai Howard, but to hear mm-hmm. people talk about a player saying, oh, he's great, you know, great athlete, just can't shoot. It's like, well, you know, maybe he can go play for my rival in that situation. But with Jakai, the basketball skills get noticed.
Yes,
it's just maybe people are blown away by some of the measurables and some of the athletic achievements too. But I want to see what Jakai Howard can do in a Bruce Pearl system early on and a little bit later in his career.
Again, our phone lines are working. Be patient when you call in. We won't be answering physically. You will be directly connected. So if you're calling in and it rings, that means that someone else is connected. But when you call in and you hear the swish sound, that means you're connected, and we'll try to get to you as soon as possible. 334-321-1390, that's the Drive Hotline. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Hey, this is Kyle Rush from
BCU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive. Final few minutes here on this Tuesday. Again, we want to thank our engineering folks, our engineers. Terry Harper and everyone who has helped,
getting
everything as quickly put together. Still everything not completed. I mean, there's still parts that are coming in, but it's great. And we talked about it, and every day something has been, you know, available that we haven't had the day before.
Really appreciate the work folks have put in here at Auburn Network to help us, because it was pretty bad a week.
Man,
and
it's
half
scary
ago.
When yeah. something like that happens. I mean, you've got all kinds of built-in protections. You can have surge protectors. You can have all kinds of things. But when an extreme power, something with a lot of power bursts suddenly, it's going to cause some damage, and yes, we're glad that we're back on, and we're glad we're able to once again field your phone calls, and I'm sure we'll continue to be able to get more and more back to normal as normal as we can get. As we can,
yeah, working on, and we should. What we're thinking, I mean, Jason.
What's normal? About
JC
us?
Tomorrow, you think? Little Jason.
Yeah,
Caldwell,
yeah.
Jason.
Jason should be with us, because I believe he said they were going to be taken off toward the end of the month. Because
he's not secretly in Europe. Like,
no, I don't
Jake
think
Crane.
So.
Okay.
Well, I mean, for Jake, this is probably not a bad time too. I mean, there are camps and things going on, but this is the time to try to be getting a little vacay time. And you got any plans here over the summer other than
I was in Las Vegas last week a couple of days and enjoyed that and might got some family. You know, I might try the I was telling you about the Montgomery River rafting.
Yeah, I had not experience. Heard about that until you were telling me yesterday.
Might check out the rapids with some folks visiting town this weekend down in Montgomery, and looking forward to we got media days next month. Texas should be something of an adventure, but no, I
just wondered if you had any plans before then.
You got the Stones on Friday night.
I got the Stones Friday, and then we've got a short beach trip planned as we usually do the last few days of June. So I'll be out like a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at the end of June.
I might be venturing with some folks. So Ferguson's getting married at the end of the month.
Right.
I might venture with some folks to Atlanta next month next week to go. I mean, hit a Braves game, maybe a soccer game, stuff like that. So we might do a little bit of that in honor of Justin. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a big day coming up. So. So, congratulations to him. He going to be with us Thursday?
I think so. I think we should be able to get Ferg back. I know he's been up to Truist a couple of times. Splitting the
season tickets. He's had sort of mixed success.
I believe he finally was able to see a victory.
Good.
This weekend. So although he was there, wasn't he there for the Strider game?
I think so.
Yeah. So I mean, it's been up and down for Justin, but he'll. He'll be joining us a little bit later on this week to talk about everything going on in the world of Auburn sports as he's been watching it all closely.
Yeah, and as we talked at the beginning of the show, I mean it's been a tough time. The Braves, like I said, I mean they're not like struggling terribly, but considering the expectations and then the losses of Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna, it's been a little tougher. And they have not really gotten the performances from the middle of the order guys. Marcell Ozuna has really he's had an outstanding year, but Matt Olson has struggled. Austin Riley's been hurt and has strugged. What's the
Riley's back, right? Is he still?
He's back. He's back and playing. He's just not hitting. He's not hitting the ball with authority.
Do you suspect he's not healthy?
Yeah. I mean, when a guy that has been a 30 homer, just a machine, has five homers at the past a third of the way through the season, I'm thinking something's not right.
Right. No. And usually there's you can look at some of the underlying the exit velocity. Mm-hmm. You can look is he hitting the ball as hard as he a hard hit rate stuff like that and see with pitchers it's always. You check to see what is the stuff
the velo.
Is the stuff is it spinning
spin rate.
Is it spinning like it used to but I think that's and I'll tell you the other thing, the Braves have played a lot of postseason baseball. These it's like an extra season for some of these guys, and you do wonder if that wear and tear could start to add up on them, because it's been four or five straight years not deep postseason runs. I'm making excuses now for the guys, but I don't know. It would be if you see like a rash of injuries hit a team, it would be that team has been.
But again, we've also seen the Braves be counted out and be a lot worse off than they are right now. And as we said earlier, Alex Anthopoulos has a way of pulling some big deals. All right, we are out of time here on the Tuesday Drive. A good day where we found we can take phone calls again, and we can make them. Helps if our the recipients are in the country. All right, tomorrow Jason Caldwell should be joining us here in the studio. We'll hope you join us as well, but we're out of time here for the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.